The Public News Service Daily Newscast for May the 11th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Lawmakers in Sacramento today consider funding for a bill to open up the state food assistance program there to all needy Californians, regardless of their immigration status.
The Senate Budget Subcommittee on Health and Human Services will decide whether to approve funds for the Food for All bill, Senate Bill 464. Benjamin Chow with the California Immigrant Policy Center came to the U.S. as a child from Brunei. He says it was very hard for his mom, raising four kids on her own, to feed her family since she didn't qualify for benefits.
It put a huge burden on my mom to work extra hours under the table or working as a caregiver. It put a huge strain on her health because she had to work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Opponents object to spending taxpayer dollars on non-citizens. I'm Suzanne Potter.
Advocates are hoping Governor Newsom will include funds for the Food for All program in his May budget revision that's due this Friday. A sweeping bill aimed at improving election fairness in states across the nation making its way through Congress. However, Ohio's chief elections official is saying no thanks.
A Senate panel will mark up its version of the For the People Act today after the bill passed the House in March. It reforms federal elections by expanding voter registration and absentee voting, limiting voter roll purges, and increasing funding for election security. But Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose argues the measure creates federal mandates for problems that don't exist.
That's really about somebody in D.C. thinking they know better than we do. And in Ohio, we came off of last year the most successful election we've ever had. And that's not hyperbole. For us to have that kind of success and then be told by Washington, no, we know better how to run your elections, is insulting and incorrect.
LaRose is one of 16 secretaries of state voicing opposition to the bill. But some voting rights groups say the For the People Act will modernize elections and address barriers to voting. Mary Sherman reporting. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
And a ban on so-called ghost guns gets a hearing today in Nevada's State Senate Judiciary Committee. Stefan Abrams is a youth advocate with the nonprofit gun violence prevention group Brady United. He says as an experiment, he brought all the parts online to assemble a semi-automatic pistol when he was just 17.
Anyone can assemble a ghost gun and also purchase one. They don't go through a background check. It's extremely important to make sure that the people who do have guns are safe with them and they're able to own guns.
The measure is Nevada Assembly Bill 286. Opponents argue the bill wouldn't lower crime and would burden hobbyists who like to assemble their own weapons. This is PNS. Environmental groups are urging Governor Jared Polis to support a major climate bill that's pending in the Colorado legislature.
Senate Bill 200, aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions and increasing environmental justice, would set caps on emissions for various business sectors and give an Air Quality Control Commission the power to enforce them. Ian Tafoya, with the group Green Latinos, says it also would establish an environmental justice ombudsperson, an advisory board to listen to the perspectives of frontline communities feeling the effects of the climate crisis.
Rural communities that are on the front line are facing wildfires, drought, crop loss, and irregular crop seasons. If you live in an urban setting, the impacts are air pollution, and we're seeing the connections to COVID.
It also would classify greenhouse gas emissions as regulated pollutants, thus requiring businesses to pay fees for emitting carbon dioxide like they do for other pollutants. Last week, Governor Polis indicated he would veto the bill, saying decisions about emissions caps shouldn't be made by an unelected commission. I'm Lily Bulkey reporting.
Groups in Montana petitioning to change the names of three geographic features that now bear the name of Jefferson Davis, the former president of the Confederacy who supported slavery. Eric Tegedoff explains.
They're proposing to replace his name with Salish words to honor the state's first inhabitants. Travis McAdam with the Montana Human Rights Network says the change would make the state more inclusive.
This idea of renaming these features using Salish terms, we thought, really recognizes and celebrates the importance of the people who really first cared for and occupied this land.
The Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes, along with social justice, human rights, and conservation groups, are petitioning the U.S. Board of Geographic Names for the changes.
Finally, our Mike Bowen tells us a North Dakota project looks to play a role in steering farming innovation in the U.S. and abroad.
In late April, an official with Grand Farm testified before a congressional committee about the progress of the emerging project and the need for more grant money to take bigger steps. The Grand Farm test site near Fargo allows outside partners to do experimental work in ag technology. Mark Watney of the North Dakota Farmers Union says he's encouraged that farmers have a voice in the brainstorming.
If you think about the cell phone world, most of us like to upgrade every year or 2 years. We don't always get any additional benefits, but we have that desire. We want the stuff that goes out to agriculture to actually have those benefits each time you do it.
He points to better tracking of invasive species leading to smarter use of chemical products as one example of benefits to farmers and consumers.
This is by Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations and online at publicnewsservice.org.